beginning with Psalm 110, a psalm of David. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord says to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments. From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. And Luke chapter 20, verses 41 through 47. But he said to them, "How can they say that the Christ is David's son? For David himself says in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.'" David thus calls him Lord. So how is he his son? And in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." This is the word of the Lord. In Psalm 110, David says, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." In Psalm 110, the Christ is an exalted figure. He is not only David's son, he is also David's Lord. For he is not only the son of David, but he is also the son of God. And so he is the heir not only of the throne of David, but even the throne of God. The throne of his kingdom is not an earthly throne, but a heavenly one. Christ, in his exaltation, he ascends into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Christ, in his exaltation, sat down with the Father on his throne, on the throne of the Father. The throne of God is the throne of Christ. The throne of the Father is the throne of the Son. Is this not what we read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8? But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. The throne of the Son is the throne of the Father. The throne of Christ is the throne of God. For the kingdom of Christ is the kingdom of God. And the glory of Christ is the glory of God. Truly, the Christ is an exalted figure. Not only David's son, he is also David's Lord. And in Psalm 110, we see just how exalted he is. The Christ is the King of all kings, and he is the Judge of all nations. That is part of what it means for him to be the Christ, to be the Judge of all nations. This is what Paul says in Acts chapter 17, verse 31. God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus the Christ. In Psalm 110, the Christ in his exaltation, he executes judgment among the nations on the day of God's wrath. And on that day, all his enemies are put under his feet. That is the promise of God to Christ. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. That is the promise of God to Christ. A promise that will be brought to its completion on the day of judgment at the end of this world. Christ ascends to the right hand of God in heaven, and on the last day, all his enemies will be subdued under his feet. We saw this idea in Luke chapter 19, in the parable of the nobleman who went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. The Christ goes into the far country of heaven to receive for himself the kingdom of God and then to return in the glory of that kingdom. And when he comes again, at that time as enemies, who did not want him to reign over them. They are slaughtered before him. And so it is at the end of the age, on the day of God's wrath, Christ will come on the clouds of heaven and the glory of the Father to judge the living and the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24, then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. When Christ comes again, he will come in power with the Lord at his right hand to destroy all his enemies, to shatter kings over the wide earth, to fill the nations with corpses, to lift his head in triumph over all his enemies. This is what awaits the world. This is what awaits Christ. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Now, one of the reasons that Jesus told the parable of the nobleman who went into a far country was that the people were supposing that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately, that is, upon Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And they supposed that he would immediately destroy their enemies. Specifically, that he would destroy the Roman Empire. But not only does Jesus correct the people's misunderstanding of when the kingdom of God would appear, in Luke chapter 20, in verses 45 through 47, he corrects their misunderstanding of who the enemies of Christ truly are. The enemies of Christ are not simply the nations surrounding Israel, but rather the enemies of Christ are those who exalt themselves against Jesus, whether they be outside of Israel or within Israel. The enemies of Christ are those who exalt themselves against Jesus. Now we might wonder how anyone could exalt himself against the glorious Christ of Psalm 110. And yet we must remember that the Christ of Psalm 110 is not only an exalted king, but he is also a high priest. A priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And what did Jesus do in his appointment as a priest after the order of Melchizedek? He humbled himself. In Scripture we see that Christ is not only an exalted figure, but that the Christ is also a lowly figure. Jesus, as a priest after the order of Melchizedek, he did not exalt himself, but rather he humbled himself. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26, he appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Why is it that the Lord says to Christ in Psalm 110, sit at my right hand? It is because there was a time when Christ was not sitting at his right hand. It is because there was a time when Christ was not the exalted figure of Psalm 110. The ministry of Christ does not begin with his sitting at the right hand of God. It ends with his sitting at the right hand of God. The ministry of Christ does not begin with his exaltation. It begins with his humiliation. He is exalted to the right hand of the Father because he humbled himself before the Father. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. He humbled himself. He offered himself as a sacrifice for sin. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. Therefore, God has said to him, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." The privilege and the honor of being exalted to the right hand of God. It belongs to Jesus because he humbled himself before God. Because he humbled himself in this world. God's making Christ's enemies his footstool. It comes after his humiliation, not before. The exaltation of Christ, it comes because of the humiliation of Christ. And who better fit to be highly exalted above all things than the one who humbled himself beneath all things? The ministry of Christ does not begin with his exaltation. It begins with his humiliation. He did not come into the world as a glorious and exalted figure, but as a humble and lowly servant. And we have seen throughout Luke's gospel, the enemies of Christ, they exalt themselves in pride against Jesus because of his humility, because of his lowliness. And in the parable of the nobleman, that rebellion against Christ, it continues until he comes again in glory. It continues until he comes on the last day and they are slaughtered before him. Until he comes when they are destroyed by him. When at last they are put under his feet and compelled to confess that he is the Lord. The enemies of Christ, they are those who exalt themselves against Jesus. Those who exalt themselves against Jesus until he comes again. Those who refuse to humble themselves before Jesus. And notice in verses 45 through 47 who the enemies of Christ are. Notice whom Jesus points out as his enemies. It is who the people would least expect. It is the scribes. Those who had dedicated their lives to the study of God's Word. Those who had dedicated their lives to the teaching of God's Word. We would expect that these, above all, are the friends of Christ. And yet Jesus reveals them to be his enemies. And why? Well, how does he describe them? He describes them as those who care more about their outward appearance to men than the appearance of their hearts to God. He describes them as those who love to be acknowledged, as those who long to be sought after, as those who seek the seat of honor in every house, in every place, those who enrich themselves at the expense of those who are needy, who take and never give. They are those who seem to be the most religious of all, who pray long prayers, but not to be heard by the Lord, but rather to be applauded by men. The scribes, they sought glory in this world. They sought the glory of this world. Notice how different the enemies of Christ are to Jesus himself. They despised lowliness. They despised humility. And so, of course, they despised Jesus, who did not exalt himself, but made himself low, who did not seek to be greeted in this world, who did not seek to be honored by this world, who did not seek to enrich himself in this world, but rather who made himself poor, who made himself low, who made himself nothing. What did Jesus do in this world? He humbled himself. He humbled himself in this world. That is why the scribes were his enemies. Because they refused to humble themselves. To humble themselves before him. To humble themselves before God. Do not overlook that the enemies of Jesus in Luke's gospel, they are not only found outside of the church, but they are found within the church as well. those who seek in the church their own glory, those who use the church for their own ends. And certainly what Jesus says here calls us to pay close attention to those whom the church sets apart for the work of the ministry, to serve as ministers of the Word, who study the Word, and who teach the Word. It requires that ministers of the Word, that elders in the church, examine themselves and ask whether they seek this office for their own glory or the glory of Christ, whether they seek this office for their own enrichment or for the benefit of God's people. But the words of Christ here are not limited to those who serve as ministers in the church or as elders in the church. Christ's words here apply to any who find themselves in the church, to all who find themselves in the church. Jesus' denunciation of the scribes, it requires you to ask yourself, why am I here? Why am I here? Am I here to humble myself before Christ? Am I here to submit myself to the rule of Christ? Am I here to follow Him whatever the cost? Am I here to seek His glory and not my own? Or am I here to be seen? To be liked? To be honored? To be honored in the sight of men? Why are you here? One can smile and be a villain. One can be in the church and be an enemy of Christ. In The Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, he writes concerning those who use the church for their own enrichment, for their own gratification. Whoever takes up religion for the world will throw it away for the world. Whoever takes up religion
for the world will throw it away for the world. But here we must further add, whoever takes up religion for the world will be thrown away with the world. For to Christ God has said, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies your footstool. You can humble yourself now at his feet. Or you can then be humbled by him under his feet. But know this. Which is the grace of our God. The one who humbles himself before Jesus now. And looks to him in faith. Know this. That the one whom God has appointed to judge you is the very one whom God gave to save you. Thanks be to God. Your judge is your Savior. Thanks be to God. And glory be to Christ. Amen. Let us pray.